We begin today the 4 weeks in preparation for the Christmas feast and the Christmas season. The period of Advent is a period of preparation, but it also provides the church with the opportunity to give us a short course in what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And that's really what happens on the 4 Sundays of Advent. The church singles out 4 themes, 4 attitudes, 4 qualities that are to mark the disciple. And each week concentrates on one of them. I have indicated this to you before, but there's a shorthand way of remembering what those themes or those qualities are. The first week, the theme is wake up. The second week, the theme is shape up. The third week, the theme is cheer up. And the 4th week, the theme is hurry up. Someone suggested that after the 8 o'clock mass that maybe on the 5th week I could shut up. All right, the 1st week. What Jesus is asking for in his disciples is they keep their eyes open, that they pay attention, that they be able to see, and that they be able to see in very ordinary circumstances in life. The 3 images or the 3 examples that Jesus gives are about the ordinariness of life. It says, in the time of Noah, people went about their ordinary work. They prepared meals, they ate, they drank, they entered into marriage, they raised families. They did all of that until the point where they entered into the ark with Noah. And they had no apprehensions, they didn't see anything, and quickly the flood was upon them and wiped everything away. So it will be, Jesus says. The Lord will come in ordinary times. The Lord will come during the eating and during the drinking, during the giving in marriage, and during the raising of family. The 2nd example Jesus gives is, again, an example of ordinariness. Early in the morning, 2 men go out into the field to cultivate or to plant. By the end of the day, 1 is dead and the other is living. Early in the morning, 2 women go to grind meal at the millstone. By the end of the day, 1 is dead and 1 still lives. In the midst of the ordinariness, in the midst of the dailiness, in the midst of the unexpected, the Lord comes. So what Jesus is saying is, be alert, be aware, even in the ordinary things of life. See the signs of the times, and in those signs, see the hand of God. That's a quality that the disciple is to have. To be able to read the signs of the times. And in those signs, to be able to discover the hand of God at work. In the 1960s, during the time of the formation of the Second Vatican Council, Pope John the 23rd wanted very, very clearly that you and I, members of the church, would be in tuned with the signs of the times. And in one of his writings, he singled out 3 events going on that he saw as signs of the hand of God. Most of us remember what emerging nations blossomed in the early 60s, especially in Africa, especially in European colonialism. As colonialism died and as free people rose and as new people were establishing new nations, it was a time of tremendous upheaval, a time of tremendous change. Spanish colonialism, English colonialism, Belgian colonialism, French colonialism, all was falling apart. And John the 23rd saw in those new nations the hand of God and the hope for tomorrow. That people were liberated, that people were stepping into the light of freedom and self-determination. That the best that is within the human person is being unleashed by a free people, not a people bound under colonial strictures. The second area in which he saw the signs of the times and the hand of God was in what you and I would call the advent of a new technology. And he said what was on the horizon was a way in which the human family would be more closely connected to each other. That the world would shrink and that we would be able to reach out and to touch those who were far distant from us through the wonders of a new technology, the wonders of new science, through the wonders of new opportunity. And that in this sign of the times, in this revolution, the hand of God was found, which could bring about a unity of people, an understanding between people, a way of appreciating the differences and the similarities of people. The third area that he saw in his own culture, in his own time, that he believed was the hand of God at work was the growth and the rise of the woman's movement, in which a shared equality and appreciation of human life and human person could be achieved. And that women who were so often subjugated to a secondary place in not only civil life, but just human life, would be liberated and freed to bring the greatest of their contribution forward. And John saw this as the hand of God, as a new creation, as a new movement within God's plan that every single human being be recognized for the dignity that he or she held. John said, when you see the world, read the signs of the times and discover the hand of God. Well, how do you do that? How does that happen? How do people open themselves to that? When two young people marry in Jewish faith, there is often a prayer that is prayed for them. A prayer that they may have a sense of the presence of God in their lives. And in this prayer, God is asked to provide three gifts to this new couple. God is asked to provide them with a good eye and a good ear and a good heart. A good eye is the kind of eye that can see beyond the tip of one's nose. The kind of eye that can see beyond the horizon. The kind of eye that can see beyond what is right in front of me. A good ear is an ear that is tuned to be able to pick up the cry of a child, the groaning of a laborer, the sighing of the sick. And a good heart, A good heart is wide and deep and high enough to make room for another, and to make enough room so that the other can come and be just as he or she is. A good heart is a heart that can welcome without condition. A good heart is the kind of heart that one can find a home in. And so to be able to see the signs in the times, to be able to see the hand of God, to be able, in the words of the gospel, to stay awake, to be vigilant. To do that, one must have a good eye, a good ear, and a good heart.